In terms of the market, it gives more, I would say, exposure to Bitcoin and new types of products versus what we had before, which was more focused on futures and derivatives, right?
Yes.
Now, the retail investors will have more confidence in specific to the digital assets. I think it's amazing. It's brilliant. And that also means that institutional investors are going to be further having a gain in the confidence as well, which is again going to lead to new products. So I think now moving forward, we will see a new breed of products and a higher level of confidence for retail and institutional investors forward, which I think is exceptional for the overall industry. So I mean, I'm bullish myself for this upcoming year.
Welcome to the Encrypted Podcast, your gateway to the future of technology and innovation, right here in the heart of Dubai's dynamic tech universe. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and together with Dubai Blockchain Center, we are embarking on a journey that unravels the minds of tech visionaries through the digital frontiers that are shaping our world. Hello and welcome everyone to the Encrypted Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and today we're really happy to have here Namir Khan, chairman of the MENA FinTech Association and founder and CEO of Philz. Namir has been recognized as MENA's future fintech leader by the UAE Central Bank for his outstanding contribution to industry-wide growth and collaboration. Under Namir's exceptional leadership, the MENA FinTech Association has achieved a ranking as the fourth best fintech body. Congratulations, by the way, on this amazing achievement. His unwavering passion for green fintech innovation continues to inspire a brighter, sustainable, and prosperous future. Namir is also the advisory board member at Edinburgh Business School. When he has free time, he likes to read. What else, Namir, I believe our audience should know about you that probably I haven't mentioned yet?
I like to only read. I like to play sports, paddle, cricket. Kidding.
Okay, cricket.
I like to do anything that makes my mind, keeps me distracted from working in general. So anything that keeps me active.
Okay, so by the way, when we're talking about, we definitely will also talk about your, let's say, leisure time, but let's focus right now on business because you have a really amazing journey as well, how you started as a business entrepreneur here in the UAE. And we definitely also want to talk about FinTech Association. We want to talk about Web3. And I would like to start actually from one of the very big elephants in the room since everybody's talking about this. Last Wednesday, the Securities and Exchange Commission approved the first ever spot Bitcoin ETF. Mm-hmm. So as a fintech and Web3 professional, what do you believe, how it will influence, first of all, retail investors and institutional investors?
I think it's, it's a great journey if you look at it historically. So wearing the fintech hat, not the Web3 hat itself, because I think fintech is something that I could speak on behalf of. And when it comes to the overall, if you look at the historical stance, what has been happening for the past, it's, I think the first time this was applied to the SEC, if I was reading, was 10 years ago.
Yes,
right.
So that's it's like a long journey.
It was a 10 years journey, right? Yeah. So I think it, in terms of the market, it gives more, I would say, exposure to Bitcoin and new types of products versus what we had before, which was more focused on futures and derivatives, right?
Yes.
Now, the retail investors will have more confidence in specific to the digital assets. I think it's amazing. It's brilliant. And that also means that institutional investors are going to be further having a gain in the confidence as well, which is again going to lead to new products. So I think now moving forward, we will see a new breed of products and a higher level of confidence for retail and institutional investors forward, which I think is exceptional for the overall industry. So I'm bullish myself for this upcoming year.
You're actually bullish when you can see like what are you doing on LinkedIn in fintech. You're as I mentioned earlier, you brought MENA FinTech Association to top of the FinTech Association worldwide. And I'll tell you frankly, like the things that you also were sharing on LinkedIn, how you started your journey and where are you now. It's really exceptional and it's really impressive. So please, can you please share with our audience, how was it for you? Because believe a lot of our younger generation, they could also like take a lot of pieces of advice from you right now.
So every journey that you have in this life is never a straight line. There are ups and downs in life, right? And when I started in, when I was in Dubai, first of all, MFT is 5 years old, 6 years baby, I would say, because 1 year was primarily on planning and structuring every single thing. When I started in this place, in this city, I started, and I now openly say it, I started with literally nothing, right? I had zero connections in this country, in this great country, I would certainly say. I knew no one, but one thing that I had was ambition. The second thing that I had was this, something that I'd learned from the early ages, which was perseverance, right? So I think being resilient, and most importantly, not giving up. See, even if you have no connections, but if you have some sort of vision, and if you have some sort of ambition to achieve something, nothing can stop you. And I would really say that I wouldn't, I did not come back, you know, come to this country with great amount of, I would say, history behind me. What I had was one thing, like I said, a dream, a vision on what we could do, and being consistent. So you will get no's. Entrepreneurship and in everything in life that you do, you get no's. Whether you're playing sports, whether you are writing a book, whether you're doing a podcast, whatever you're doing, you will get no's. But those no's are basically bricks that help you move up, right? Every time you get to learn something. So I think in the overall space, I personally learned a lot.
Yes.
I met great people who taught me more about people in a good way and in a bad way. And all of them are great to me today because everyone taught me something, good or bad. They all taught me something. So I think in terms of that journey, it's been amazing. And most importantly, the ecosystem. Whenever and wherever you go in any part of the world, the important thing that helps you grow is the ecosystem and the people around you. Luckily, in this country, we had all the right talent. You had great, amazing people who have always been trying to go towards the next step. And and you would agree with me, most of the people we see around us are go-getters, which is great. And the other thing that I would also like to highlight is the top-down leadership of the country. Now, I don't really, I'm not saying this to basically just praise the country because I'm in here. I'm saying this because I felt it. If I was in some other country, I would not get the level of exposure that I would get over here. Today, this part of the world is the center of the world. People talk about it. People come over here and launch their companies for a reason. People come over here and talk about how can we move to this region, to this country for a reason because they see growth. They see opportunity. So I would call this the land of opportunities. So when you are in the land of opportunities, you need to first embrace it that you are in the land of opportunities, one. And number two, then go out and create opportunities for yourself that you can grab those opportunities and go to the next level. So this is what I've seen. And I was lucky enough, because I had to work hard for it, that I reached out to the right people. And I always tell the youngsters, if you're coming to this country, if you're coming to this part of the world, one, have the vision, have the ambition. Second, never take no for an answer, never give up. And most importantly, have the right people beside you. They will help you grow and they will elevate you. So this has been a bit of my journey. And see, honestly, I didn't even have enough money back in the days. Right? I could have left the country if I wanted to. But it just helped me, you know, it just pushed me more. I think it was more to do with my passion.
When you said about like vision, when you came here, and for example, I want to go back to the early days of Mina Fintech Association when it was initiated in 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
But before, when you came here, like what vision did you have? Because you said like one of the most important thing, and by the way, it's an interesting thing, do not accept no for an answer. That's a good one as well.
But learn.
Yes, but also what kind of vision did you have? Did you have this in mind that I want to have the MENA FinTech Association, I want to create FinTech community / Web3? How was it?
So I'll tell you honestly, I've always believed in the opportunity that the region has.
Okay.
Right, one. Number two, MENA FinTech Association was built on the foundation of being the bridge mm-hmm. between the innovators, the FinTech, the leaders, the community, and the policymakers. That was the real agenda of MENA FinTech Association. And then after that, of course, the second one was ensuring that not just policy advocacy, helping the regulators take the right steps and the right decision when it comes to building policies and regulations for the world of FinTech, but also building talent. Mm-hmm. Education is a very important piece. And one of the first ones, the first partnerships that we did was with American University of Dubai. And then, and with other universities as well. Today, we have a range of universities that we work with very closely, including the Cambridge Center of Alternate Finance and the Dutch Business School and Edinburgh Business School and many others, right? So education has been a very important piece of what we do. The third piece that I would say was community engagement to ensure that we bring the right set of people together in order to basically engage more and more together. Mm-hmm. And the fourth pillar that we had was empowerment. Mm-hmm. Right, to ensure that we empower the younger talent to be able to create and innovate furthermore. So these were the foundations that we had built. And I think looking at the community today, fast forward, we would actually see the success of the community today with the larger growth of the overall fintech industry. Mm-hmm. Today, there's a growth of 92% when it comes to the overall markets all over the world. Haven't seen such growth when it comes to fintech uh-huh. versus what UAE has seen, 92%, right? So year over year. Now, the thing is, that tells you that, and I always say this everywhere I go, wherever I go, I would say this region is a gold mine, mm-hmm. right? You have the young talent, you have the right, sets of demographic, the psychographics where people are more open to newer products and newer solutions. We adapt well to new technologies. And the opportunity is amazing because of the emerging middle class population as well. Mm. And you would not find this amazing set of numbers anywhere in the world. And I can be challenged on that.
Dubai, home for innovations. By the way, when you said about, and it's a very interesting thing, when you said one of the things, it's interesting how it evolves, talking about community, I would like to hear in this case also talk about the evolution of MENA FinTech Association over the last couple of years, because as I mentioned, first it was more about policymakers working with FinTech companies. Right now we can actually see that a lot of Web3 companies are joining MENA FinTech Association here. And moreover, for me, one of the most interesting products and interesting projects are those who are actually trying to make these bridges, like build bridges between TradFi and DeFi, or FinTech and DeFi, let's say like this. So there are many, if I'm not mistaken, there are plenty interesting cases, like many interesting projects there, like also part of MENA FinTech Association. Could you please tell us about this? Yeah. How they started joining MENA FinTech Association, how it enriched the ecosystem, or whether it changed in this case?
So it's a very simple one, I would say. First of all, we must acknowledge the fact that the MENA FinTech Association, I mean, how other communities have also built and promoted the overall agenda for their specific sectors. Mm-hmm. And I would certainly, talk about how other main Web3 communities like CryptoVasis has done a great job when mm-hmm. it comes to, pushing forth the Web3 agenda, right? Whereas MENA FinTech Association, what we have done is more focused on how the Web3 can be leveraged to connect with the real world use cases, mm-hmm. right? Where we have, I would say, industry experts and leaders such as Ronit Ghose, who's running a Future of Finance mm-hmm. and who's extensively talking about digital assets, and then of course how that can be connected to the real world use cases. Then we have even on the digital assets working group, which is led by Miriam Kivan from Circle and Moali Yusuf from Fuse, on how we are able to further advance the agenda when it comes to digital assets and typically the world of fintech and financial services. So I feel that in terms of our approach that we have taken is more access to the real world use cases. Mm-hmm. And what we have seen today, that Web3, because personally I have, you know, when we talk about my being a founder of Fills myself, we leverage the use of blockchain when it comes to bringing in more transparency and credibility and auditability when it comes to carbon credits, mm-hmm. right? So such and such use cases are only going to emerge more, mm-hmm. where real world use cases will be partnering more and more with Web3 focused use cases or technologies to ensure that we're able to bring in value to the end product. So that is increasing, and of course, the momentum is quite positive, and we're quite excited.
By the way, when you actually mentioned about sustainability, because I can see that, again, through what you're doing, that your passion to green fintech innovation is really obvious. And how do you see this intersection of fintech and sustainability shaping in the future of financial industry? And what kind of, do you think, MENA Fintech Association, what kind of role can play in this case and promote these fintech initiatives? You've been talking about this at COP28, like at multiple events there. And you were like also active part of COP28. Can you please also tell us about this?
So let's talk about the bigger problem over here, Mariam. What is sustainability and why we talk about sustainability? Everyone needs to know about this.
Because right now it's so urgent, it's not exactly that we definitely need to do something.
And there's no choice, right? So when you have no choice and when you have to do it, that also reflects opportunity. Mm-hmm. But what is the problem? And I think I've repeated this probably hundreds of times already, and I would love to do it another time, which is the fact that we have 51 billion tons of carbon emissions that we're producing every single year. 51. Always important to remember the number. Carbon emissions is a product of consumption. Mm-hmm. You consume and you emit. After that, consumption is a product of spending. Yeah. You spend to consume, and spending is a product of payments, right? So that tells you, and payments is, of course, financial services. So we need to ensure that 51 billion tons that we are emitting every single year, we are able to make it either, we have to reduce that number, number one. Second piece is that there's already 1.5 trillion tons of carbon emissions already in the atmosphere, which we have to eliminate, which makes it very important for us to utilize something called carbon removal. We have to remove that carbon from the atmosphere. Carbon removal is such an important industry that 20 to 25% of the overall, so first of all, it has been declared by authorities globally that we cannot just achieve net zero by becoming more efficient. Mm-hmm. We need at this point to ensure that there's a hybrid methodology where there's carbon removal and there's also efficiency. Efficiency and, you know, making the supply chain processes and energy production processes is going to be almost 75 to 80%. Whereas carbon removal is going to be 20 to 25%. Mm-hmm. That basically tells you that how important this industry is. Right now, the carbon market itself stands at around $909 billion, the industry. Mm-hmm. Voluntary carbon markets stand at $4 billion. Voluntary carbon markets is expected to go to $30 billion, 30 to 35 billion in between, I believe, by 2030. So that tells you the growth that you're looking to see in this specific market. That's the importance of it. Now, in MENA Fintech Association, what we did is that we, first of all, started the Sustainable Fintech Alliance. Mm-hmm. The Sustainable Fintech Alliance brought together leading organizations and companies such as Visa, MasterCard, Meta, and many other big names that are currently a part of the Sustainable Fintech Alliance, and of course, the association too. The second thing is that we realized that, hey, listen, we're going out, we're trying to embed sustainability, but we see that a lot of people want to talk about it, but they don't really understand sustainability from the depth of it. Mm-hmm. So let's first build a curriculum and a program, an education program, in partnership with London Institute of Banking and Finance, where we then built a curriculum for sustainable fintech leadership program. Uh-huh. We gave our scholarship to 30 students that were worth $150,000.
In the UK?
No, over here.
Here, oh, okay.
In partnership with Abu Dhabi Global Markets and the ADGM Academy. Mm-hmm. We gave our sponsorship worth, like I said, $150,000 to 30 students, but not just from the region, but outside the region as well. Mm-hmm. So we did that education piece. Once the education was done, then we wanted to move towards the next step, the Sustainable Fintech Pledge. Mm-hmm. Then we announced a Sustainable Fintech Pledge ahead of COP28, where again we brought together leading organizations to pledge that they will take the first steps and, you know, moving forward to take action towards the net zero targets that we are setting. In that, we were supported and, you know, we've been working very closely with Ministry of Climate Change and Environment of UAE under the leadership of Her Excellency Maryam Al-Meheri, mm-hmm. when she was the Minister of Climate Change, who went out and supported full on towards this pledge. Then after that, the next step that we did is that we built, and I, you know, in fact, I can tell, you know, right away tell, is that we built a toolkit for fintechs then to understand how to embed sustainability into their businesses. So these are some of the steps that MENA Fintech Association has taken when it comes to sustainability. And moving forward, we have great chairs who are running it, Jihan Haid from Communique, Tom Romansky from Codebase, amazing chairs who are doing a great job in order to ensure that we are further advancing the agenda of sustainability, and proud of our team.
In this case, you definitely, the things that you're also doing, is it the same work that you're doing with Philz?
Okay, so Philz is basically an infrastructure, a digital infrastructure that enables businesses of all sizes to embed sustainable action into the business models and into the customer journeys. We work from the side of emission tracking, where we help businesses, like I said, of all sizes to first of all understand what are the emission scope 3 emissions that they're basically producing. After that, we basically help those organizations have access to carbon markets, mm-hmm. where then they can basically seamlessly offset the emissions that they have basically created. And then what we do in Philz is that it's a complete infrastructure that also helps banks to basically launch, I would say, products on either side of the business, on the issuance side, on the acquiring side as well. And most importantly, very important thing to mention is we leverage the use of the blockchain technology. Mm-hmm. What we do with it is that we basically ensure that any transaction that is being done on our platform is basically recorded on the chain. That means basically that if you're when you're doing carbon credits, the issue with carbon credits is that you have the issue of double counting in carbon mm-hmm. credits. What Philz has pioneered in is basically not just have the access to the infrastructure to create a very robust distribution arm, as you can see the announcements that we have been making, but on the same time, as we're doing the distribution side of the business, we also want to ensure that we have a very strong supply side. And anything that is being transacted on the platform is on the chain, which means it's transparent, it's auditable, it's trackable. Mm-hmm. And it's very important for any organization when they're basically dealing in carbon markets to ensure that they, whatever they're getting is valid, is legitimate, is transparent, you can track it, and it's extremely auditable as well.
Which blockchain are you using? Layer 1, Layer 2?
Layer 1 with Sui.
Sui, Abundi. Yes. Okay, by the way, interesting. It will be also interesting to follow what will be happening from this kind of partnerships.
We are doing some exciting stuff, okay. All I can say, when it comes to leveraging blockchain.
We need to follow.
Right? Yes. So indeed, it's going to be some of some really transformational stuff that our mm-hmm. teams are working on. Really proud of our teams, most importantly, and really happy with the type of teams you're working with at Sui as well, who are exceptionally, I would say, sound in terms of understanding the problem statement and moving forward. And it's been an exciting journey, and looking forward to further, I would say, bringing together both the worlds and creating something more robust and strong for the overall carbon markets.
Encrypted is your exclusive ticket to the epicenter of technological innovations in the MENA region. Talking about partnership and collaboration, since I know that you've been actually traveling with MENA Fintech Association like throughout the last year, quite often you visited Latin America, you've been like to different parts of the world. So I would like to ask you, what kind of partnership did you do and how it actually helps to, let's say, make bridges between different, I would say, fintech Web3 communities around the world?
So I think, I would give credit to our chairs and our leaders in the association who are driving these mandates for different countries as well. For example, in Latin America, Vietnadi Vanessa, who's also a board member at MFTA, she was personally there representing and establishing more and more partnerships in Latin America. Simultaneously, we work with almost 48 countries globally, mm-hmm. very closely with the trade missions and many others. And the typical agenda is to represent the ecosystem mm-hmm. And the opportunity that we have in the region. A lot of these countries have great fintech firms as well who would like to expand into these markets. So giving them the connectivity into the market, one, giving them the, and really being the ambassadors of the region over here outside, where we are able to represent the regional opportunity to those countries and their ecosystems, mm-hmm. right? Now, for example, we were in Hungary and the Central Bank of Hungary has a great partnership with us, for example, and they have a great ecosystem representing their surrounding countries as well. In Hungary, what we basically saw is how they are looking up to our region as well mm-hmm. on how the ecosystem approach can be further replicated into those markets as well, right? We may have started late versus the rest of the world, but I must say there has been some good stuff that we all have done that other regions now also want to learn from us. So being able to share our learnings and knowledge when it comes to building up ecosystems and building up communities and building up a framework such that basically helps those countries also establish their hubs too. So our partnerships with these different, or I would say our diplomatic partnerships with these countries is largely focused on ensuring that we are able to have that knowledge sharing piece, we're able to have the trade piece, and most importantly, we have the talent piece, and on top of it, to ensure that there is more collaboration in all facets when it comes to the two regions.
Maybe there are some kind of collaborations, or you may announce later this year that you can maybe share with us today, just right now.
So I think in terms of the partnerships that we're doing.
And the plans of MENA Fintech Association for 2024.
So MENA Fintech Association is doing, today just we announced our new amazing chairs for the 2024 season, I would say. We have Akshay Chopra and we have Iman Adil, two leading payment subject matter experts who will be leading our working group called Shift on payments. Then we have other working groups such as the Digital Assets Working Group. I mentioned Miriam and Mo. They're doing a fantastic job as well. We have Ronit Ghosh, our super Ronit, the future of finance lead. We have for sustainability, Jihan and Tom. We will be doing the report for 2024 as well for sustainability. Future of Finance is hosting its curated, sessions that we do once a month or once every 3 weeks. That's a curated session closed door that we do. This year we will be having a MENA Fintech Awards as well, which was also done last year in partnership with Abu Dhabi Global Markets. We have the Policy Working Group, which is working aggressively on some new policy documents as well, which will be also focusing not just on digital assets, but largely across the policy framework when it comes to different verticals within the fintech, world, which includes payments, of course, which includes digital assets, which includes, lending and wealth management, which includes digital banking as well, and many other sectors that we'll be focusing on. And yeah, I may be forgetting a few working groups, I'm sure, so please forgive me for that. The chairs will kill me. But Yes, there's a lot of exciting stuff lined up. After Hours, we hosted After Hours in last year. Oh yeah, how can I forget Yasin, our Africa chair for MENA FinTech Association. Uh-huh. He has done an absolutely fantastic job. Yasin brought together the African FinTech community in Morocco. Then after that, we did our first After Hours in Abidjan. Oh. Then we're doing another After Hours in different countries over here, which you would see. All what I can say is that many other GCC countries have further strengthened the ties with MENA FinTech Association, and you would see that in the coming weeks and months. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to doing great work with all of them.
Thank you so much, Namir. Right now, we're going to our rapid fire question round. Stay tuned. Rapid fire questions. So Namir, right now we have rapid fire questions where our audience would get to know you better, like as an entrepreneur and as a person. Are you ready?
I'll try to be.
Okay. Namir, if you would had to explain FinTech to a child, how would you do this in one sentence?
Superhero in your mobile.
Okay.
Lets you buy your toys faster.
Interesting.
That could be good, yeah.
Name five qualities that you believe a real entrepreneur should have.
Never give up. Resilience, passion, mm-hmm. and compassion.
And fifth?
Fifth would be, never give up again. I'll give it twice.
Okay. What would you never do while building a company?
Many things. But if I was to pick one, that would be not be honest. Be completely honest when you're building your companies.
Okay. Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Bitcoin.
Okay. What's your favorite, in this case, movie about blockchain, if you've seen any?
None.
Okay. If there would be a movie about your life, how would you call it?
I'll call it Zero to Something.
Which is the proudest moment in your career?
I would say quite a few of them, but I would say when we started the MENA FinTech Association.
Amazing. The moment you would like to forget?
No moments. Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. Finish the sentence. My business philosophy is?
Do good.
Nice. How often do you practice your keynote speech before going onto the stage?
Probably 2 minutes before actual speech. Like I did now.
Okay. Describe a perfect day for you.
There's no perfect day.
Okay, no perfect day.
Yeah.
But let it be. If you could time travel, which era would you like to visit and why?
I would say the early 1940s. There was a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
The next big trend to follow?
Sustainability.
And Dubai for you is associated with?
Opportunities.
Oh, thank you. Today we had Namir Khan, chairman at the MENA FinTech Association and founder and CEO at Philz. Thank you so much for watching and see you next time.
Thank you.
From the gleaming skyscrapers of Dubai to the innovation hubs of the Middle East and beyond, Encrypted brings you thought-provoking discussions, exclusive insights, and stories of innovation that will leave you inspired.